This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Thursday, and we are ready for you. If you're ready for us, meet me halfway. Let's go. So I was, I did a little stop at the garage on the way here. Thought I'd buy some muffins for everybody.
Minding your own business.
Yeah. First of all, there's a party going on at the engine down the road here. So
at 5 in the morning.
Dude, there's music playing loud, and all the workers in the store are like packing and unpacking stock and counting the money in the till and getting... It's like a buzz. I mean, I really felt like I'd walked into an after party.
It is a total buzz.
And then Pumi walks in to the same garage shop.
Do you
and she's
see?
Like, hey!
It's happening. Accident. It's happening.
So you guys got the memo. We clearly did it.
Yeah, I mean, this place was just pumping. It was a really nice vibe. I said to Pumi, what the hell's going on here? She's like, I don't know, but I like it.
And they're all nice.
Oh, but it also makes sense. It's the night shift leaving.
Oh, maybe that's
yeah, they're like,
excited and stuff.
5-2 yeah. Going home. Now we can really serve with a smile. They're going home.
I'm like, wow, if other people can feel this at the start of their day, they'll feel good about the day. I mean, I was pumped up after I walked out
I
of
there. You even bought muffins, right?
Well, that was the reason I went, but yo, amazing. Yes. It's really good. And then Pumi and I were talking, we'll tell you about this website she just found that is amazing that you have to go and check out. Just
okay.
Because it doesn't matter what you do, there's good reason for you to go and check it out today.
IR.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I had such a fun thing happen to me last night, unexpected. You know, I'm not good with surprises.
But?
Well, I was meant to go for dinner. I'm on this WhatsApp group with about 12 or 15 other guys, and some of them are in America, and some of them are in Cape Town, and some of them are here. And I planned to meet, I think, 4 or 5 of them for dinner last night anyway in Joburg. And I thought it was just going to be, you know, the small thing, and I'd be out of there at like, you know, 8:30, 9, and I could get home and get to bed. Mm-hmm. So I get out of my car and I walk into the place, and there are 20 of my friends there and balloons, and they've arranged a cake and a whole lot of other stuff, which I had no idea about.
You can see his face right
yes,
now.
You're
now,
so happy, right? You're happy about this.
Now I am.
Yeah, because I finally got something for my birthday, which was, and I mean, they had gifts. It was just unbelievable.
Wait, but then the most important question is, how did you feel about it?
I loved it.
Oh, there we go.
So I'm growing
as long
up,
as you didn't
finally.
Sit there with your arms crossed like
no, I mean, you know, my immediate reaction is like, turn and run. Yeah. Get out of here as quickly as you can. But then they were actually all people that I really like. So yeah. I thought, there's no reason for me to be a douchebag about this. It actually, these people took time out of their busy week. It's a school night.
On a Wednesday night.
I know. And they had, some of them were dressed, they'd come straight from work. I was like, you know what? These are good people. Mm. I felt so loved. It was nice. It was really, really nice. So I had a good night. They force-fed me 1 or 2 tequilas. But
standard procedure.
Did they hold you down?
They went out. Oh, yeah, they kind of did. You don't know my friends. They all went out afterwards. And I said, no, guys, I really can't. So I left my own party first. I went home, and I did the responsible thing. I got into bed, and I woke up right time this morning. Got here feeling fresh. So it can be done.
Feeling fresh and loved.
You can have, exactly. You can have it all.
On a Wednesday night.
And then Pumi's first purchase this morning was one of these Red Bulls, but the red edition, which is very hardcore.
Is it like extra wings or something?
Even though
extra wings.
Yeah, she's very hardcore, Pumi.
Did you not see the court case? Red Bull actually really does not give
that.
You wings.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know whether to believe it or not.
Can you believe
it? You know what it does? It does give you like a serious caffeine shot, better than coffee.
You reckon, but I don't know. Hey, those things, your heart starts going
way too much.
Not good. It does. All right, so let's start.
It's like a jump start. It's like a...
Let's get straight into some messages for the morning. Morning, Gareth and team. Thanks for talking about Schitt's Creek a while ago. I finished season 5 last night. It is hilarious. I love you guys. That's from Julius. Yeah, that is such a fun show. I mean, we told you about it months ago, Julius. It's taken you a very long time, but...
Oh, finally you got onto it.
Can you please post a picture of Gugu for the gays? I hope he is hot. So, see,
for the gays.
Gugu for the gays.
So, would you post a picture of Gugu later on Instagram and say this is as per request for the gays?
I have to show my stomach for me.
Yeah, you'll have to show if you have a six pack.
Gugu, you choose which one we post.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will you look good?
And you want to look good for everyone. Right. For the gays, for the straights, for the bis, for the lesbians, for the queers, for the transsexuals.
Wait, what did Dave Chappelle say?
Intersex, the asexuals.
Oh, Dave Chappelle says the alphabet people. The alphabet people.
Mm. Oh, by the way, on that matter, you know,
David Chappelle.
We were talking about Dave Chappelle, and someone said the only reason that he can get away with the stuff he's getting away with right now, because he's doing the kind of material I've been longing for, and he's the only comedian who's brave enough, first of all, that's the one reason. But as this message said yesterday, he's also talented enough. Like, he can pull this shit off, because you get the impression, the very serious impression from Dave Chappelle, that if you're going to hit him with some politically correct shit, he's going to pick up the other side, which is heavier, and hit you with that.
So he can back it up.
Yeah, he's in a world of his own and a league of his own. And never forget, this is the guy who said no thank you to a whole lot of HBO money, millions and millions of dollars, because he wanted to come and hang out in Durban.
No, because you've seen that skit, right? Yeah. You need your because he's already gone crazy. Mm. He's already had his crazy moment, so he can go anywhere.
And there's another comedian called, what's his name again? Doug Stanhope. He's my other favorite. I met him in Texas 2-3 years ago. I've always wanted to meet this guy, and he's like, he's a comedian's comedian. This guy, he never really made money. He uses all his money on drinks and drugs and women. Oh. And
what a life.
He's had a hell of a life. He lives in a shitty little town in like Arizona, right on the other side of the Mexican border. So he actually lives, he watches like the traffic between Mexico and the U.S. And this guy is just fascinating. He says, he's got a new show called Too Poor to be Famous, or something like that. And he basically says he's always done what Louis C.K. used to do, you know, taking out his penis in front of women and stuff. But he's so poor that none of them give a shit.
Oh.
So he said, really, if Louis C.K. was just poor, he could have got away with that stuff.
Oh, that's an unpopular opinion.
No.
But you know, after
that's a good comedian.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
You've got to be willing to be sharp, there. Yeah. You've got to be willing to get into that discomfort zone. You've got to say the things that people are too like polite
to say. Yep,
to say. Mm. You've got to be, but you know, you've got to be sharp about it.
Well, now I'm actually excited about Eddie Murphy coming back. I was a little hesitant. Me too. I thought, oh no, he's going to be too cleaned up. He's going to dot his I's too much and cross his T's and he doesn't want to say anything. I am actually looking forward to this. I think Eddie Murphy is going to come back with that like raw Eddie Murphy that we know from the 80s.
I love him.
Yeah.
And he also just doesn't, he has nobody to please now. And you know, there's some people saying, well, I hope he's as funny as he was before he quit. I don't actually give a shit. It's like seeing your granddad after he thought he was dead for like 15 years.
So I'm quite fascinated.
And you don't care if your granddad comes back and he's had a haircut and he looks a bit different. It's your granddad. Yeah. And I love Eddie.
So I'm very fascinated to see without his big brother how he's changed.
Did his brother also help him write his comedy?
What? His brother was funnier than him.
Well, that's a lot of
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it who spoke to us about Charlie Murphy? Was it, I think it might have been Luis Ogola, who spent a bit of time with him.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Murphy
could
was
even have been Trevor.
Huh?
Trevor Noah.
And Charlie Murphy was also a comedian, but also in a lot of writers' rooms, worked with Dave Chappelle. They all worked with Paul Mooney, who's like the granddaddy of black comedy. It's a thing.
You can't say that without giving a bow to Richard Pryor. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Well, just bringing it up because he's top of mind this week. But one of the things I found out about Steve Harvey this week is that he walked away from stand-up in, I think, 2012. And I'd heard that he had done it, and I thought, oh, maybe, you know, it's like those great big singers who say that this is my final tour, I'm retiring. Meanwhile, 5 years later, when they need more money, they come back. But Steve stands by saying he walked away from comedy back then because he could feel the tide turning with having to be politically correct and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he said, he owns it fully, that he is too invested in making money for him to not be real. So for him, he's like, you know, he's not going to carry on the stand-up stage, but his focus is, sure, he'll clean up his act, he'll play with kids, he'll smile with old people just to get money, and he understands that that's a sacrifice that needs to be made, see, so he's not going to go on to stand-up anymore.
But this is what has happened in a world where we're being told by the woke scolds that we have to use certain language and we have to think certain things, and if we don't, we're not acceptable, is you will end up without any creative people. Because all the creative people will say, whoa, hold on a second. If you're going to threaten my livelihood, and look at how many careers have been destroyed by someone either quoting a tweet out of context or going back into someone's past and finding a picture of them with their arm around someone who's, you know, clearly been called unacceptable. And suddenly these people are ruined. And a lot of creative people and people who really would be making us laugh, making us dance, making us smile. Those people are like, fuck that, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to put myself in the line of fire by a bunch of nobodies on Twitter who could ruin my life. They could actually ruin my life just so that I can make those people laugh? Hell no. I'd rather do something safe where I can make money and feed my kids and pay for the fees and, you know, that kind of thing.
But I then think it actually makes you even braver, and it needs a very special kind of – because comedians are not just about trying to make us laugh. They also – you know, agitating a bit of thought, only it's a different take. That's what we love about the comedians that we love, is the way that they see.
And they're incredibly smart people who hold that mirror up to society, right?
Absolutely, which is what the Dave Chappelle thing is, you know, is he's kind of got there and everybody's like holding their breath. But he's gone there and he's making you think about it. He's making you really think about it and think a little bit differently.
So what's the bravery part?
You have to be brave.
To step away from something like
that. To stay in it. To stay in it. And in it, find the moments of questioning the truth.
I do agree, but you know how many more laughs we could have had? You know how many movies we could have been watching now? Because there are movies from the 90s that you just are not allowed to watch anymore. And if you do and you laugh at something in it... Like, you know, some guy takes a golf club and, like, smashes some animal with a golf club, which was hilarious in 1992. Now you have Peter and the SPCA and all the vegans and everybody else. If you laugh at it and they find out that in your own house you were watching that movie and you laughed at it, the fucking mob is at your door with pitchforks and burning torches and they're like, bring out the person to kill.
I'm not even joking. I read this article last week dissecting how Modern Family is just not funny anymore. They broke down Modern Family, saying the Modern Family humor doesn't stand because it makes there are too many stereotypes about Latino women. That's Sofia Vergara's character. The gay stereotypes just don't work with the Cameron Mitchell characters. And it's not fair to... What was the third one? They were also just... I think it was the Haley character, who's known to be a little ditzy and dumb.
Yeah.
Saying like, no, you can't make fun of people like that. I'm like, guys, well, what are we laughing at anymore?
Yeah, well, you see, the moment anyone ever tells you what is and isn't funny, what you are and are not allowed to laugh at, you need to get away from that person in a hurry. They are exactly the kind of person who will ruin your life and set fire to your dreams and poison the well and curve your spine and make you shit out your spleen. You need to run a million miles from anyone who tells you what is and isn't funny. The moment those words, that is not funny, escape from someone's mouth, you know that the only truth is that they don't know what is.
The article was called Modern Family Reinforces the Very Stereotypes It Hopes to Challenge.
Oh my God. Can you imagine the humorless, miserable piece of shit who sat at their desk in their lonely apartment in LA, watched enough episodes of that to find a reason to have a problem with it instead of enjoying it for what it is, an entertainment show, and then crafted that revolting article. That person should be ignored. Ignored in every possible place. Let them go into their lonely life and disappear into the distance. We don't need to be told what isn't funny.
See, what the hell is AV Club? You're reading fake news.
People publish this shit all the time. Someone came out. You remember, we used to watch Friends, right? Our generation, maybe a bit older than Sia and Gugu, so they maybe not big Friends fans. And to be fair, towards the end, neither was I. But in the middle, when it was at its height, this was like a fun show. You got Rachel and Ross and this on and off relationship. Mm-hmm. You got Monica and Chandler. You've got the Joey characters, this ditzy, good looking guy gets checked.
Phoebe!
Yeah, Phoebe, okay. Who's the ditzy blonde girl. And it's just cute. And, you know, obviously, if you want to analyze these things sociologically, you're going to find plenty because they made up characters that upsets you. But I watched this.
Who are archetypes?
Correct.
That's the whole thing about it. You know?
Right. And this woman, what she did, or this man, whoever wrote that article, what they don't understand is the difference between an archetype and a stereotype. And why stereotyping is actually, as awful as it sometimes is, the basis for most of the humor in the world. The reason we laugh when someone tells a Jewish joke or an Irish joke, or they tell a joke about Indian people or colored people or black people or white people, is because stereotypes come from somewhere. It's not like a committee of racists sat in a room and said, let's make this shit up about Indian people, that they like hot food. Let's just make that up and let's see how bad it can get for them. And then they all disband and they go into their various places and they reinforce that stereotype wherever they can just to make it horrible. What they do is they're trying to make you laugh. And it's not a committee full of racists in a room. It's a comedian who's picked up on something in society that the rest of us have been too busy to absorb, to identify, or to reflect back at us. And they see it and they go, look at you. Look at you guys. You're ridiculous.
It is a little sad to think about how much we're missing out on. Where, you know, if more comedians were still creating, what movies we'd be watching, what series we'd be watching, and then we don't have that. Meanwhile, then you have Monique, who's still on a whole train of boycott Netflix, and no one is standing up for me, and I don't know.
But you know what? Who was it yesterday, Gord, who said he wants to see a network that's brave enough to take all the shows that have been cancelled because they were politically incorrect or someone had a problem with them? And host them on that channel. Because I tell you what, it would be the biggest channel in the world.
Well, I thought about that a little after the show. And I thought, maybe it wouldn't work. Because I still... Yes, Matt Lauer can deliver news. But
yeah, let him do the news.
I can't not look at him now and think, oh, thanks, Matt, for letting me know what's happening in the world. I look at him and I go, oh, Matt Lauer, you had a button underneath.
Remember
your desk,
lock the door.
That would lock the door and keep interns in your office. You freak.
Sure.
No.
All right.
I don't want to see that.
You want some messages this morning?
Sure.
All right. So, how old is Gugu? So, you see, Gugu, you're getting a lot of interest here.
Ooh.
Yes, I just saw his picture.
Oh.
Gugu, hello to sister. You, I'll buy you all those cars that you test drive.
Ooh, you got yourself a sugar mama.
This is from Cindy. She's just got a picture of trees.
And
the
road.
Damn it, Cindy.
Yeah, she's not going to give anything away.
Oh. Google, don't worry. Pay me some money. I'll find info on Cindy.
Figure it out. Yeah.
I'll Google her. Okay.
All right, so let's have a look here quickly. There's a bunch of stuff going on. We've got to talk about the Gavin Watson, the new revelations. Oh. Apparently there's a funeral tomorrow or today?
No, there's a memorial.
Sorry.
There's memorial
today.
Right.
Tomorrow, Friday.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you interested in going?
It's a funny girl.
Pumi's going to go to Gavin Watson's memorial?
You never know. I'm just asking with an open mind.
I have stuff to do.
Yeah, I'm busy too. Sorry, pity. Pity about that.
I thought you marked this on your calendar. I thought this was of grave importance to you.
Chomotso says, hey, guys, the Dave Chappelle special is the funniest because he didn't hold back. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. That's what we're saying. I think in brief, you know. Oh, I've got to blow my nose.
Okay, you have some nasal
issues. How exciting, yeah.
Oi, oi. What? And that wasn't a sound effect.
One more before you have to go.
No, that's good.
You're fine.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Please don't get sick before you're on holiday.
No, I'm so excited about this holiday. You've packed up.
You're all ready?
I was packed 2 nights ago.
Oh, jeez.
I told you I bought a new suitcase. I'm excited about that. I just hope they don't steal it. I mean, steal my stuff and break it open at O.R. Tambo.
Knock on wood. Don't.
Because if they want to get into your suitcase, they will.
They will, yeah.
You know?
I made that mistake a month or two ago when I went to Botswana.
What happened?
I carried a bag, no lock, nothing. Forgot my wallet, forgot everything of value in that bag.
Oh, God. And they jacked
it? No, they didn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Lucky.
They didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing this trend of people breaking into bags more and more, and it's not just international flights. It's not anymore if you look like you're carrying anything expensive. I know my sister was broken into in the past couple of weeks. I've seen a bunch of people post about it on social media. And really, the airlines, actually, they're standing up for themselves by saying, well, we always tell you don't put valuable stuff in your checked-in luggage, and also you could have taken travel insurance with us, but you didn't, so we aren't liable.
You're
stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Richard Quest did a show a couple of
years... Quest on CNN!
What did he do a show on?
He always
barks. And it's an international phenomenon. Like, airports are just crappy places, actually, guys. And he had a whole show about
it. People work at airports.
About all the various, like, traveling, when he was on BBC, I think.
I googled.
It's a long time
ago. Well, not everyone, but I mean...
People are just trying to get their money.
Hey, well, people are trying to earn a living.
Yes.
By stealing my shit.
Yeah, that's not earning a living.
No, not like that.
That actually, what? I just want to
no.
see... I
no,
see
that even, is a shitty thing, but it's not all people if you who work
even,
at airports.
If you even try to fiddle with the combination lock in someone's suitcase, I reckon you should just go to jail forever. Like, I'm just over... Like, don't touch other people's shit. What's wrong with everybody? I mean, I won't even go to a woman's handbag if she asks me to. I'll take her handbag to her.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
You generally should never go into a woman's handbags.
But what is this weird thing that, and I know it's an international thing, and that this happens, I've been told, by the way, that Rome is chock full of pickpockets. So that's something I got to look out for.
Yeah, bo baba.
But what is with people? Yeah. Why do people feel that they can go into someone else's stuff? I would feel... horrendous. How come I was raised properly and someone else is prepared to find some stranger's bag, crack it open, tear it open, cut it open, do whatever they can, take this shit out, and then just let it go with whatever's left.
Yeah. Mm.
Broken and destroyed. And what is that?
I remember just chatting to DJ Zintle once as well, because she has her watch line. And she has to send her watches for the people who've ordered through the mail.
Right.
And there was this brief couple of months where people weren't getting their orders because the post office knew, like, okay, yeah, if it's from this address, it's from DJ Zintle, which means their watch is in there. And the people working there would often steal the watches. Yeah. Jeez. So she had to ended up changing her model a bit. So people had to go to her office and pick it up. But it's just like, oh, man. People are just trying to get on with their lives, trying to make it to holidays, sell a few watches.
Business. Exactly.
So on the pickpockets in Rome,
yes,
you know, they actually have a whole lot of people who have been to, like, magician schools.
Stop.
And this is how sophisticated. Right. Listen here, Italy.
They go to school for this.
Yeah.
Dude, Rome is
Gugu was blown away by Mo Magic the other day, the magician. Yes. He was blown away. He thought that, like, a Sangoma had come in here and
witchcraft.
Yeah.
What did he do? He came in here on Alan's show on Tuesday.
And he gave me two teaspoons and said, feel them, they're real. And I felt them and I gave them back. He takes the one and he starts, like, waving his hand at it and it starts bending. I still have that teaspoon at home. It still bends. I can't straighten it.
Oh, you just traumatized by it.
How do you read someone's thoughts, Gareth?
Yeah, it is like, freaky. I don't like magic, but there's something about it that's very entertaining.
How do you read?
So, Pumi, what do I do?
I mean, so traumatized.
Let's just think about this pickpocket thing, because I don't want to be one of those idiots who loses stuff. So, where do you put your money? What do you do? How are you meant to?
You must just be vigilant. Don't be like touristy. Don't be like You must just be vigilant.
In other words, like you are here.
Yeah, exactly. Like South Africa.
This is the thing about Italy in general, but Rome in particular. And when a friend of mine, when I went to Rome, and a friend of mine was like, just watch yourself over there. It's like, really? Like, Rome is all of those stereotypes we were talking about mm-hmm. Italians.
Mm-hmm.
Italians.
And Rome is where it all comes from, right?
Oh, Italians. Yeah, there's like, you know, those mafia-looking old guys that are the taxi drivers hanging out in the corner. There's a protest around. There's always some kind of protest somewhere, right? The police are hot, y'all.
Oh,
in their Armani uniforms.
You've got the police, and then you've got the carabinieri, right?
What's a carabinieri?
They have almost like plumes What's in that? Their hats, and they wear these white gloves and. They arrive with their whistles. And, I mean, it's like a joke. Look up the
carabinieri.
Yeah.
Just Jay, remember? Be vigilant is all I had to say to you.
Right. Is that really comforting, though, for the guy who's leaving in a couple of hours? You're telling him,
you better be warned. You are better off warned. Just be vigilant, right?
Sorry, Gareth, don't even Google how to avoid being pickpocketed in Italy because there's stupid tips here. Tips like don't wear a fanny pack.
Who wears a fanny pack?
Yeah,
you should be like, for having a fanny pack, you should be.
All right, you should be in big trouble. I will not wear a fanny pack.
You should see the carabinieri.
Carabinieri. I mean, these guys dress like you cannot.
Oh, that's a fabulous look. Oh, that is a fabulous.
See, I think it's fabulous.
No, I'm not even joking. That's great. You know, I think that they look down at the British.
Oh, yeah. The horse guards.
Horse guards. Go, pwah. You're just standing
there. They are. See, Pumi's right. They are actually designed by Armani.
Yeah. And they come in with their fluff.
It's a thing. It's a real thing.
My aunt was telling me the other day that they had someone bumper bashed a bicycle. No one was killed or injured or any of this stuff in front of their hotel. And then the normal police arrive, and they're about five of them. And then suddenly the carabinieri arrive, and it's like whistles are blowing, and traffic is stopped, and people, there's chaos for like 20 minutes. And these guys get out with these white gloves and these helmets on, and they've got their motorbikes. And then suddenly it's pandemonium, and they're saying, "You are baradaradaradar," and they're using their hand gestures and all this shit.
Wait, so
she said they went away and they came back 4 hours later. There was still a commotion going on over this bumper bashing.
I'm telling you,
they
Rome
even have
is
capes?
All that. Rome is all of that. It's loud. It's loud. People shouting. Yeah. It's just Rome is all of that.
No. These guys are. Something
else. You are one of them.
See how much to join
macho, the macho man. I want to be a macho man.
See, I just found a picture of them with they look like
Zorro.
They just dropped
they
out.
They look like Zorro.
They just look like they dropped out of the 16th century, really.
So what's the difference between them and the police?
Well, the normal police are like they're just the cops, right?
They don't have the excitement.
Yeah, these guys are like the gendarmerie. they're the official the police of the police.
Imagine impressive. Getting punched by someone in white gloves and a cape and a fluffy hat.
A person in a fluffy cap, a cape, and white gloves will punch the lights out of you.
Yeah, you don't mess with these
who
guys.
Who also plays the flute. I mean, this sounds
good. It's the carabinieri.
Do they play a theme before they arrest you?
Probably. They probably start playing a song or singing an opera or something.
My life is so much better after discovering them.
You know what else? A friend of mine who was in Rome, I think about 2 years ago, sent us a picture of a levitating monk, which you also see.
What?
Yeah, levitating monk.
This is too soon for Cuckoo to hear. Yeah. He's still stuck on a spoon.
Remember that.
Right.
And I was trying my hardest to explain to her that he's not actually levitating. It's like It's a trick.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what they do. She was like, what kind of witchcraft is
convinced.
This?
Convinced.
Like, wow. Rome is...
you're going to have fun.
Listen, I mean, I've only got a little bit of time in Rome, but it's going to be my intro. And I know I'm going to love it and have to go back, but I've never been there. And I've spent 40-odd years just dreaming about this place. So finally going to see it. It's a massive bucket list thing for me. Let's get into the news. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Buckle up for another fuel price hike, says the AA.
Fun.
That's not Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the Automobile Association. Although the Automobile Association probably going to send a lot of people to Alcoholics Anonymous after this price hike. Apparently on Wednesday they warned that the weakness in the rand is expected to drive fuel prices much higher in September. So get ready. Bend over. Here they come. They're predicting petrol will increase by at least 10 cents a litre, while diesel will go up by about 25 cents a litre. Diesel's now more expensive than petrol.
Yeah, it's always been, huh?
No, it wasn't always.
No,
back in the day, it wasn't, but more recently.
One of the reasons I got a diesel car at the time is I thought, oh, I'm going to save some money. This is only a couple of years ago.
But I mean, I think you still do save, Garrett, because you get more range from a diesel car.
I don't know.
Than a petrol.
So get ready for that one. There's some bad news. SA Express have resumed flights. That's hopefully good news. They've resumed operations after being suspended for most of the day yesterday. Management cited operational challenges for the interruption on Wednesday. You know, SA Express, Mango, and SAA all run by the same people, right? And none of them know what the hell's going on. They've all got their heads up their backsides. It's a parastatal. It's a disaster. This never happens with Aer Lingus, who are a private company. They do way more sectors every day than SA Express do. They have more planes, they have more pilots, they have more passengers. You don't ever hear any whisper of a problem with them. I just want you to go and pay attention to the difference between Aer Lingus and all three of those, Mango, SA Express, and SAA. And you'll see how you can run things properly if you have good management, and how you can run things badly if you don't know what the hell you're doing. If you're just an incompetent, useless bunch of political appointments. So go and have a look at that. But the company said affected travelers were offered alternative flights for the duration of the halt in operations. Head of marketing. I mean, can you imagine being the head of marketing there? You first need a head of operations so that you have something to market. Head of marketing, Mpo Majatli. No, hang on, let me say that properly. Majatladi. Yeah, Mpo Majatladi said, passengers had access to staff at all the airports and they could also call the reservations department for assistance.
That's frustrating, man.
We deeply regret the inconvenience that this has caused our passengers, but they can rest assured that we've now resumed our operations. Company earlier said it could not comment on claims that it owed Airports Company South Africa millions of rands. Yes. Okay. Lots of people talking about David Gekana. In Johannesburg, SABC sports broadcaster David Gekana had been hailed as a strong, opinionated, and hardworking journalist. Friends and family gathered at Gekana's memorial and funeral on Wednesday afternoon at the Reber Bible Church in Randburg. He died on Sunday, remember, after a long-term battle with diabetes. Fellow sports presenter Lindani Mbense said his friend had lived a full life. If anyone here is feeling sorry for that man lying in that box, don't, he said. This guy lived. We did things people only dream of, did things people would not dare to, went to places the devil fears, and it was all in the name of living. This man lived.
He lived.
So go in peace, David Gekana.
I mean, what more do you want people
and
to say about you?
And the category is live.
Thanks for laughing. No. But really, what more do you want people to say about you? He's lived. You've seen things. You've done things.
You've done people.
Like,
you've got to say it like that, though.
You've lived.
All right. The Center for Development and Enterprise. Have you ever heard of these people? Please tell me that
the
someone...
The Center?
Yeah, have you ever heard of the Center for Development and Enterprise?
No.
Okay, well...
Crickets.
Yeah. They on Wednesday, whoever they are, said, and now we suddenly have to take notice, that time is running out for South Africa to deal with the public sector debt, which is linked to the economy's inability to grow. They're about 100% right about that. I mean, public sector debt is a huge problem. Public debt is over 60% of our GDP at the moment. It is as high as at the end of apartheid, and a staggering value of $3 trillion between government and state-owned enterprises is owed. The large gap between government spending and its tax collection, which opened up in the aftermath of the global financial crisis in 2008, was the main reason for the country's debt explosion. This is according to a report by the CDE, which collated research among leading economists in the country. The organization's executive director, Anne Bernstein, warned that the government's approach was pointing to an inevitable continued slow economic growth that would reduce the standard of living of all South Africans. If we try to pay off the current debt at the rate of 100 rand per second, it would take 1,000 years. The key reason is the large gap between revenue and expenditure since 2009. The risky trends which need to be changed by government include debt expansion, while government has to stop borrowing more than it spends on servicing debt. And to be honest, what we also need to do, and this is the hard pill that we've got to swallow at some point, is we need to trim down all the people who work for government. We cannot afford to have all of these people who work for government in sheltered employment. We need to make government more efficient. Or what's going to happen down the line is, and Pumi and I will talk about this in a little while, all of them are going to be replaced by machines anyway. So then it's going to be a real problem, because suddenly everyone's going to find themselves jobless, as opposed to trimming off the people who we don't need at the moment, letting them find other occupation in the private sector, perhaps start their own businesses. And if they're not people capable of that, then why are we sustaining them in a government job anyway? I mean, these are things we've got to think about, right?
Well.
Well. Maybe we can get into that in the Burning Platform.
There's a... You know who else is drowning in debt at the moment?
Who?
The ShopRite and Woolworths.
Oh, big time, huh?
So, yeah. Just so you know, you're not the only one. You're not the only one drowning in debt.
There's another nose blow for the morning.
Hey.
No. I want to know what's going on with me, but we'll hopefully it's just hay fever. Maybe there's
hopefully,
just, you know, yeah. The trees, the flowers are in blow. Listen, I woke up this morning. This isn't news, by the way, but it's necessary to be said. woke up this morning and I had the bathroom window open while I was having my shower. I got out of the shower. It wasn't even that cold. Yeah. So spring may be here sooner than we thought.
Double digits this morning.
God
Double digits.
Bless global warming.
For a change.
I know. That's going to get more hatred from the climate.
Oh, goodness.
The climate crew this morning. All right. Last story in the news that you need to pay attention to. Fiki Lembalula, who's the Minister of Transport, has met with AUTA and the AA over e-tolls. Apparently, the minister met with them on Wednesday. The two organizations have been at the forefront of fighting against e-tolling. We listened to both stakeholders and we've committed to give them feedback from our engagement processes. Doesn't that sound like such a bureaucratic answer? We have met with both stakeholders. I hate that word, stakeholders. There is no such thing. It is a made-up bullshit word.
Especially because sometimes they're just holding forks.
Exactly.
And no stake at all.
And we are committed to give them feedback from our engagement processes. If your wife or husband spoke to you like that, you would know your marriage was over.
Spoke to me as a stakeholder.
Don't you think? If your husband or wife said to you, yes, I've met with you, the stakeholder, and I commit to give you feedback from our engagement process, what would you say? You'd say, I have to get out of this marriage now. Right? Stakeholders.
No, because my dad talks to all of us like that. So.
Yes, kids, really? Kids are always stakeholders.
Yes.
And they can be informed, but they don't need to be engaged.
In his weekly addresses to us.
Yes, which is kids are always stakeholders. You
a
can
minimum
inform
of
them,
a three-paragraph thing.
They don't always have to be consulted or part of the...
What was he... he was asking me for details the other day, and he says to me, please furnish me with your...
Oh, yeah, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, boy.
So that's where you get it from, Sia. Hey, you're the big words.
Says, please furnish me with... Yeah. I looked at this text for a good 3 minutes, packing up laughing, before I could actually respond to it. That's my father. We have comrade,
yes,
stakeholder communication and language.
Does
I'm not
he talk
surprised.
About grassroots problems in your.
There was something else. He was saying thank you, but he said it in such a fluffy way.
This is where you get it from.
This is exactly. He doesn't want to admit
Baba Sangwen is the blueprint.
You are your
Baba
father's
Sangwen,
son.
You are so the DNA of your father.
It's Baba Sangwen is the blueprint.
And you know yes, but this is what he said. Sorry, now I remember. He said, I'd like to register my heartfelt thanks.
That's how he talks to you.
Like, can you just say thank you? Full
was
stop.
Was it a voice note or was it a WhatsApp?
That's amazing. You know,
was it a voice note or was it actually an SMS?
Do you know
WhatsApp? He texted.
Do you know what's scary is you're going to end up just like him.
As he sits here with his jacket draped over his shoulders.
I know.
I hope if I ever get to a point where I say, I'd like to register my heartfelt thanks for this incredible breakfast, someone slap me and call me to order. No.
I think you might have already said that. See, I'm telling you.
You are the person that uses words like envision.
Yeah, well, you envision the trajectory of your life.
Buganje. Bona manje.
Baba Sangwen. All right. So,
it's better.
Does anyone care that Balula met with the AA and Outa? Because doesn't, I mean, he's just really giving them lip service. If I've ever heard of lip service, it's that line. I'm going to repeat it again so that you can say it to someone today and just measure their reaction, all right? Try it. Try this at work with someone you're really trying to have a relationship with, someone you're trying to get a deal done with, someone who you're trying to motivate in their position, someone who you rely on in the workplace, and say to them, we listened to both stakeholders. In this case, you say, I listened to you as a stakeholder, and I commit to give you feedback from our engagement process. And see if they don't leave the room in a temper after you've said that to them. It is such bullshit. We will no doubt engage with the information they placed at our disposal. Balula said in July that there is a demand on the table to scrap e-tolls. SANRAL is owed 11 billion rand in unpaid fees. They're never going to get it. You must never.
Not going to happen.
You are never. I know Canton, Canton Pille, who's coming in later for the burning platform, he gets so cross. He says, we've got to pay our e-tolls because he's a, you know, let's follow the law and be good citizens. One of the things I like about South Africa that I wouldn't like if I lived in Australia is civil disobedience. So forgive me. That's the rebellion that grows inside of me. I love it. Oh, I love Mara, I love a rebellion.
Mara, 11 billion rand guy. Like when did that bill get racked up? It sounds wrong. It's like somebody and their calculators like added a zero.
Jacob.
Like it's come on, 11 billion rand. How aye, many years has please. This been? Aye, please, man.
Right, do you want to go to Ngobile? Hey, Ngobile, what's up?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone?
You sound like you've just woken up.
Well, good morning to you.
No. It's not waking up. It's just recently recovered from flu symptoms.
Okay.
Not flu, but flu symptoms.
Okay. All right. What's up?
What level of anarchy are you selling to us today?
Anyways, I wanted to just also chip in on the on that pickpocketing thing.
Yeah.
Gareth, if you want practice, please just walk around the Scaleback CBD.
Oh, really?
Dude, pickpocketing is happening all day, every day there. So you should get a nice
CBD,
learning.
So Joburg CBD is a good place to go and practice if you're going to get pickpocketed overseas.
Yeah. Especially as a white person. No, they'll definitely target you. They'll definitely come for you and be like, oh, wait, isn't that guy from Idols? Wait, he used to reject my sister. Let's go. So it's going to be a nice practice for you. But just a word of advice from a person who used to always go through such situations where I have avoided them. Thank goodness in the years I've been alive, I've only been robbed once.
Wow.
And it is only because I was negligent. Like you were saying, my sister earlier, where you say, just need to be vigilant due to that. So the best thing to do is, if you have pants that have deep pockets or two pockets.
Mm.
That's one thing. Another thing is, you preferably put Have things that are not bulging your front pockets, and put everything on your front pocket, never in the back.
Okay, that's good advice.
And another thing is, don't let people you don't know approach you. When they start talking and greeting, wave as and walk. Don't stop. Please just stop. Good. It's too late.
Yeah, that's good. This is very helpful. No, Nobile, this is really the stuff that I was looking for, because these three didn't help me at all. Pumi just says,
they're coming from privilege.
Who is now saying be vigilant? He's also saying be vigilant.
Yeah, but he's giving me
I'm being specific. You see, what you did is this thing with motivational speakers. Believe.
Yeah. Bullshit.
Do it. But I'm saying, okay, to set a goal, you need to say, I want to lose 100 Ks in 6 months.
Right.
To break that down, do this. Oh. So that's what I'm doing. Yes, we're saying the same thing, dude. But you're more flamboyant in that catchwordy phase. Be all vigilant. Right. How? Just be vigilant.
We'll be fine.
All right, thanks, dude. All right, have a happy week. listen to this. It's not just me. Tyrell says, I think spring is here. My nose is going crazy today as well. God bless global warming. I heard something that's going to piss off these climate people even more. You want to hear it?
Uh-huh.
Apparently, if global warming continues and all the Arctic ice melts, we will have new trade routes through the Arctic, which will be fantastic.
Wow.
For international trade.
Wow.
I took this magazine out to read this very thing for you.
A physical magazine?
Pumi's very old school, eh?
Of course.
Made of paper?
Warner.
Which
I want to. I also lick my finger to
turn the page. Is this Time magazine?
Believe it.
Wow.
Believe it. A funeral for Iceland's first glacier lost to climate change was held by scientists there on August 18.
A funeral
conducted
by scientists.
Yes. For the glacier.
Oh,
before it melted. Now, I don't know how to say Okjoku. No. I think it is. Glacier stretched for 6 square miles. Now it's gone.
Dead.
Well, I'm just still stuck on they held
I think
a funeral
you
for
can't
this.
Be a sci- you can't be a scientist if you're attending a funeral for a glacier. You lose your science creds. I'm sorry.
Also, I don't have two.
Pumi has The Economist and Time magazine in her bag.
Yes,
all the
it's
time.
Called cognitive dissonance.
Well, the two are very different. Yeah, very different. There's a lot of political scope in both of those.
So crazy.
All right.
Yes, I think Rob and I probably. Mugabe are the only ones left who probably still buy the physical copy.
Shame, have you seen those pictures of what Bob Mugabe looks like now? Yes, sis.
If I was him,
age has ravaged the man. Age and that heart.
He looks like a what, Coco?
A frail little monkey.
No, but he had his arm out.
Goodbye.
It's like it's not working properly, and the arm is lying there, like almost like, you know how you, you know those soft toys that they can move in any direction. Yeah.
It's like
sympathy toys.
How's the hair though? Does he still have any?
There's a bit.
Peach like a fuzz at this point.
He's an old bastard.
That heart of a dictator. Age you like milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to go meet his creator, whoever that is.
Although the color of his hair is quite similar. The color of his hair, what's left of it, is quite similar to the color of Canthan Pillay's hair.
You guys are so horrible. Okay.
Furnish us with the way you're feeling.
Yeah, furnish us with the way you're feeling. Use some big words, Sia. Come on. Let's go. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I think Mugabe is smart enough to ask for no photos at this point. No one should be taking photos with him.
Well, someone did, and it's available on the internet. Just go and have a look. All right, when we come back, the burning platform. All right, yes, Canton.
I just want to chip in on that stakeholder stuff.
Oh, yes, I hate that.
Just work on the assumption that we all need to be stakeholders, because the state is a vampire, and what do we do with stakes?
You stab them in the heart.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you very much. I like
this.
This is CliffCentral.com.